there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, Stocking Stuffers. I'm Jeff Searcy.
In the middle of drinking some Deathberry Inferno, I'm Jay Logsdon. God, that's spicy. Woo, buddy.
He's still enjoying it, folks.
It's impressive how spicy it is, but how delicious it is.
You know, I would agree. I'm not normally that big of a ghost pepper fan, but it's pretty good.
Anyways. Well, yeah, stocking stuffer. Real fast, Jeff, do anything spooky lately?
Well, I guess it depends. I saw Weapons, Jay.
What'd you think?
I liked it. It was good. It surprised me, which is hard to do for a movie.
I've not seen Weapons. I've not seen Barbarian yet either, so I want to watch Weapons before, or I want to watch Barbarian before I see Weapons, because I've kind of heard there's some connections.
Tenuous connections, yeah.
But everything I've heard, I'm like, that sounds like fun. I do want to see it. I saw Jimmy and Stiggs by Joe Bigos.
I saw you seeing that while I was busy at Def Leppard.
And Jeff, I don't know if you'd like it. I don't know if a lot of people would like it, but people who loved Christmas Bloody Christmas probably get a kick out of this. Mm. I think you might like it. It's got that. I mean, yes, it has the dialogue, which I know you found kind of cringy. Like, there's a lot of...
Oh, yes, the quips, the millennial quips.
There's a lot of, like, improv'd dialogue and just, like, two metalheads yelling at each other. But there is also just some real great, like, practical effects. All the neon-drenched kind of, like, Christmas-like kills and, like, practical effects that you loved in Christmas Bloody Christmas, those are here. But it's also an alien invasion movie, and also there's, like, I'd say there's a little bit of The Thing mixed in.
Now I'm intrigued.
All kind of filmed in, like, a bottle episode style with a little, or, like, it's like a bottle episode. It's all filmed in Joe Bigos' apartment, and there are scenes that are kind of found footage POV. So I thought that was really neat. And then there was one other thing. Oh, yeah, because it is an Eli Roth movie. Or it's from Eli Roth's production company. We got fake trailers.
Awesome.
We got one for, like, the piano killer, which is, like, someone killing people with, like, giant grand pianos.
I like it.
It's like two people having sex, and then you just watch the piano fall on top of them.
Why hasn't this been made yet?
And, oh, don't worry, he made a Thanksgiving-esque joke that was, like, coming to theaters in 2047 or something like that. But the other trailer was "Don't go in the house, bitch."
Oh yeah, yeah, I like that.
And it's just like someone walks it, like this, like these kids go up to trick or treat, and like the door opens, and then the door closes, and you hear the kids screaming, and then it's "Don't go in the house, bitch."
Mm.
And it just kept doing that. It was very, very evocative of "Don't." Was that the Grindhouse trailer?
Yeah.
If you're thinking about seeing this movie, yes, don't.
Yes. Why do people hate Eli Roth?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
Like, I, you know, granted, my favorite Eli Roth movie was Thanksgiving. Mm. I wasn't a big Hostel fan. I think a lot of people are like, he's a bit of like a gore hound. He's a little bit of like a torture porn guy. Yeah.
I understand, like, not everybody's going to like his movies, but people act like he's like a bad director. And I'm like, just because you don't like the things that he makes doesn't mean he's a bad director. Not everything is going to be to everybody's taste.
Now, the amount of hate I see for Thanksgiving, I'm just like, yeah. Did we watch the same movie?
Sometimes I think we didn't.
this is better than most of the Scream movies we've gotten. This is a better Scream movie than some of the Scream movies.
I would agree with that, yeah. Especially a couple of the later ones.
Yep. Anyways.
Anyways, Jay. I've been seeing something that's really been grinding my gears lately.
What's grinding your gears, Jeff?
Oh, you want to know what's grinding my gears?
Well, you can't. All these people, the droids you're looking for.
Oh God, that don't even get me started on that. That'll take a whole episode on its own.
That
Jay.
Might be my favorite Family Guy joke ever.
Yes,
it also shows how recently I've watched Family Guy. That it's like a joke from, I don't know, like 2006.
Speaking of Jay, on Fandango, formerly Vudu. You can get all the Family Guy Star Wars movies for $9.99 in a package.
Oh, I might want to
grab that.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
But no, you know what's been grinding my gears, Jay?
What?
All these people coming out here saying, oh, the Lord of the Rings is like the most vanilla shit. You know, I am a Game of Thrones aficionado. I love it, you know, because my hero, George R. R. Martin, who has yet to finish a single book series, by the way.
and said, never will.
Said that, you know, it would have been cooler if Gandalf had died by getting his dick chopped off and Frodo had tripped in accidentally into the volcano. So I just wanted to, I'm going to set the record straight a little bit here, Jay, and talk about some of the dark shit that's happened in Middle Earth that people apparently have just been ignoring all this time. So I'm sure you've heard around the way about your Silmarillions, Jay.
I do know about the Silmarillion.
Yes.
Now, listeners, for Jeff has, I think, read all the Lord of the Rings, everything Lord of the Rings related.
I've basically read everything that he ever wrote and his son ever edited together from the stuff that he wrote.
I've read The Hobbit.
Which, I mean, even with The Hobbit, there is some dark stuff in The Hobbit.
And I read about half of Fellowship of the Ring, and I went, nah, this isn't as good as The Hobbit. And I never finished it.
You know, you're not the only person who did that, Jay. There is definitely a large jump in tone and style. The Lord of the Rings, honestly, is more like a history book than it is, which is one of the reasons I probably like it, because I'm a history guy, history major in college. That's probably one of the reasons I have such an affinity for it, is because it is written more like a history book than it is like a novel. But there's a lot of dark stuff in all of them, which I think people just kind of overlook. They try to act like modern fantasy is the first, oh, you know, they do dark stuff now, Jay. It's not the boring old black and white good and evil like it used to be, even though that has never been the case in The Lord of the Rings,
right.
But whatever. I mean, literally, there's people who do bad things. The whole reason that the ring is a problem is because a guy literally did the wrong thing.
Right.
But, so, let's go back to our Silmarillion first off. So, I'm sure anybody who's been paying attention has seen The Children of Húrin has been released as a standalone book. It was originally part of the Silmarillion, but several stories in the Silmarillion had so much material with them that his son Christopher Tolkien, who was the steward up until he died, he put them out as individual books because they're long enough to be their own novels, essentially. So the story of his family. So Morgoth, the original Dark Lord, hates him because he is one of the few men that comes out of the East that resists being corrupted by him, and he becomes friends with the elves. And so he hates him, and he puts a curse on his family line after he captures him. And so his son, this is all within the span of about a decade. So he murders his best friend, thinking that it's an enemy in the night, thereby claiming his curse sword. That'll come into play later.
Okay.
This sword is well known to cause horrible misfortune for anybody who wields it. He unknowingly weds his sister, Nienor, because they were separated when they were very young, and she has no memory.
Hate to see that.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you think George R. R. Martin's the first guy who has a brother banging his sister. Well, it turns out, no.
It's a real old boy or whatever.
because the dragon Glaurung, the original fire drake, basically, on Morgoth's orders, wipes his sister's memory so she doesn't realize she's falling in love with her brother. Because he almost doesn't go insane and kill himself when he finds out, Jay, but then he finds out that it was actually not an accident at all. It was all a plot by Morgoth to get him to bang his sister. And bear in mind, their father, who should be dead by now, because this is way, way after his like life would be ended, Morgoth is literally keeping him alive at the top of his tower on purpose so that he can watch his entire family be tortured and killed. He's extending his life through sorcery to make sure that he gets to witness all of this.
That never ends poorly.
Well, for him, it does not end poorly because he murders his entire family and then kills him finally, and then stands atop his tower and laughs maniacally. You know, like our Santas from our episode. So yeah, when they find out that they're brother and sister, his sister runs to a cliff and throws herself off, dashing herself on the rocks. And he turns to his, he draws his sword, and the sword's name is Girthang, by the way. And he says, "Please kill me because I do not want to be alive anymore. My life is terrible. I feel like I'm under some kind of Morgoth's curse." He doesn't say that.
I hate when I'm under a Morgoth curse.
And the first time ever in the story, by the way, the sword answers him because apparently it's been able to talk this entire time.
Wild.
And it says, "Okay, yeah, I'll slay you." And then so he falls on it and dies. And so that's the end of that. So, you know, that's not dark at all, Jay. That's happy. That's good versus evil.
Yeah, that's happy good stuff. That's
victory. The good guys win in the end when you find out you're banging your sister and you both commit suicide. you know, if that wasn't bad enough, so if anybody who's just watched the movies, you think, oh, Frodo destroys the ring and Aragorn's crowned king and everybody goes back and it's just very happy.
And Jeff cries because Aragorn says, "You bow to no man."
Yes, so I'm in tears the entire time. Jay has to hand me boxes and boxes of tissues.
Yep.
You would think that, but no. Turns out, so Saruman is not killed like he is in the movie. He's left imprisoned in the tower, but Treebeard is a big dumbass and an ancient tree man.
Damn it, Treebeard.
So I don't know why you would expect him to do a good job. But Saruman, who's well known for convincing people with his magical voice to do what he tells them, gets Treebeard to let him go.
Solid.
And so he decides to take revenge and go to the Shire, where, unbeknownst to the hobbits, so the Sackville Bagginses are briefly referenced. They're like a family that hates Bilbo for living so long and really wants his house. So Lobelia, she is made fun of a lot in the beginning of the story, but she has a pretty amazing redemption arc. But her son starts calling himself the chief and essentially enslaves all the other hobbits with a band of orc ruffians.
Jesus!
And starts selling off all their possessions and burning down their homes. And he imprisons and tortures his own mother, Lobelia, after she stands up to him and says that what he's doing is terrible.
Because it is.
And so Saruman comes there, and instead of... because he was doing all this at the behest of Saruman, who said, you know, "I'll set you up as Lord of the Shire if you destroy it," because he hates the Shire, because he hates Gandalf. And he's like, "This will really make Gandalf sad if I destroy the Shire.
You know, it'll really piss Gandalf off.
I love it so much, just pissing him off.
If I burn down... What's the name of... if I get rid of all the pipeweed in the Shire.
Burn a big pipeweed fire. Oh, we're getting lit tonight." So, yeah, he thinks he's doing all this to be set up as ruler of the Shire, but when Saruman shows up, he has Grima Wormtongue murder him in his sleep, and then it's later implied when he's mocking his mother when she's finally freed from prison and finds out that her son is dead. She's, like, weeping at his feet, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm pretty sure Grima ate your son. I cannibalized his body." You know, just to, it's hard to say if he's just trying to twist the knife or... and, if it actually happened.
But you know, Song of Ice and Fire was the first thing to have cannibalism in it.
Dark things in it, yeah. But yeah, no, he's like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure Wormtongue, when I had him murder your son, also ate him because I don't feed him." So there's that little thing, and their entire home is destroyed. And in the book, Galadriel gives Sam some magical soil from the Forest of Lothlorien and a seed inside it. And that comes into play later on when they get back, because the entire Shire has essentially been burned down, and the party tree that the Bilbo's party happens under, where they hang the pavilion and everything, has been chopped down. And so Sam uses that seed that Galadriel gave him in the Fellowship to grow a new party tree, essentially, because she saw the future and what would happen to the Shire.
Okay.
But yeah, no, that's one of the most heartbreaking moments of the book, I would say, when Sam sees the state of that. Oh, also finds out that his dad has been tortured in prison the entire time he was gone.
Poor Sam.
But yeah, him like weeping over the destroyed Shire, I think, is one of the saddest moments in the book.
Poor Sean Astin.
But yes, nothing bad ever happens in The Lord of the Rings, Jay.
Good always wins.
But let's go back to, you know, the elves. You know, Elrond, he talks a lot of shit about Isildur not destroying the ring.
Right.
And how he's a total bitch for not just tossing it in the fire when he told him. Well, you know, the Silmarillion is about three magical jewels. The central story is about a smith named Feanor, who's the greatest elf that ever lived. He forged 3 magical jewels. Morgoth steals them because he wants them, and he knows it'll piss off the elves. And so Feanor, against the advice of literal, like, angels, essentially, says, no, I'm swearing vengeance on this asshole, and I'm going after him. And they're like, no, that's a really bad idea. Yeah, it's a real one of those. And so he goes to the Havens where the other, because he's a Noldor elf, there's different kinds of elves. He goes to the Havens where they're building ships, Jay. And they're like, no, the Valar, who are essentially demigods or whatever, said, no, you shouldn't go after him. We're not giving you our ships. And so he's like, oh, you're not giving me the ships? Fine, I'm going to murder all of you. And he slaughters 2,000 of his own kindred there and steals their ships. And that's what's known as the kinslaying and why the Noldor are banned from Valinor for a very long time. Because they spilled blood on the sacred land and murdered their own kinsmen for no reason. But, you know, nobody does anything bad, Jay. In Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Even though Feanor is essentially supposed to be the hero of the Silmarillion, and he's running around doing shit like that. Oh, you won't give me what I want? Well, then I'll just kill all of you.
And, you know, I mean, man, I'm sure A Song of Ice and Fire didn't have anything about, like, not killing kin or anything like that.
Oh, and, you know, you want to know something interesting, Jay? You think, oh, well, you know, he probably murdered warriors, you know, but no. He ordered that the women be rowed down as they attempted to flee into the surf, and he hung the children from the prows of the ships to cease resistance from the remaining warriors.
Real hero.
Yeah. This is the good guy from the Silmarillion. I'd hate to see what this Morgoth guy is up to. And of course, we all know one of the saddest stories is Gollum. He even get in the Two Towers, there's a point where you even think he might have redemption before he gets roughed up by the men of Gondor and goes back to being super evil. But, I mean, Gollum's whole entire... It's like you're just out fishing one day and you get ensnared into something that you had absolutely no part in making, never asked for, and it consumes your entire life. You've lived so long at this point that everyone you've ever known has been dead for about 500 years. And you feel a gnawing hunger in your body that won't let you die until you retrieve something that you can never retrieve. And for your trouble looking for it, you get captured by Sauron, personally tortured by him, which is when you are 100% confirmed in the Two Towers that Sauron actually does have a physical form and is not just a big eye. Because he's personally in the room torturing Gollum, and he says he only has 4 fingers on his right hand because he can't regrow the finger that the ring was cut off of.
Yep.
And so, yeah, he gets tortured, and you know, I'm sure that's nothing, Jay.
Yeah,
That's not bad.
No.
An innocent man being roped into something by a horrible corrupting influence and tortured and tormented and then...
And turned into like a weird frog man kind of...
Essentially, and that just proves how... Because any human who bore a ring of power that long turns into a ring wraith like the Black Riders. But Gollum had the most powerful ring for 500 years and was still in a physical form. That tells you how tough hobbits are. Which is another thing that really... You think, you know, oh, the hobbits, you know, they don't fight back, they don't do anything, they're peaceful people. Well, no, actually, they lead the reclamation of the Shire at the end, proving that they have grown on their adventure, and Grima Wormtongue does murder Saruman at that point, finally, in the Shire. But I want to read you a little quote from him, Jay, just in case you were like, well, he's just like that kind of comic book villain. You know, he doesn't really do anything too terrible other than, you know, tell a grieving mother that he had her son's body cannibalized after he betrayed and murdered him. Let's see here. Ah, such fools. I will get ahead of them and teach them a lesson. One ill turn deserves another, and it would have been a sharper lesson if only you had given me a little more time and a little more men. Still, I have already done much that you will find hard to mend or undo in your lives, and it will be pleasant to think of that and set it against my injuries, even in death. You know. I'm glad I fucked up your house and destroyed everything you love. That will make me feel good, even though I've lost and I'm dying. I'm just so fucking hateful that I'm
such a hateful dick.
It's number one hater, Jay.
Number one.
So, you know, obviously by now I think we've proven that Return of the King has got some really dark stuff in it. Even the older stuff has dark stuff in it. The stuff he wrote first but came out later. I mean, literally, the fall of Numenor was because they got convinced to do human sacrifices to Morgoth, even though Morgoth can't be reached anymore at the first age, so it's pointless, and literally build an armada to go try to kill God. And then also, people are interested, they're like, oh, well, he destroyed the fleet of Numenor and sank the island. Kind of. he imprisoned the people on that fleet. There's, it's said that they're still alive, imprisoned under the earth, waiting until the end of days. So they're just paralyzed down there in Rock, waiting for God knows how long.
Probably forever.
Yes, because the days may never end, Jay. But no, I just wanted to point some of that stuff out, because I'm like, if you get into the Middle Earth lore, you're going to find that George R. R. Martin is not as original as you think.
Also, I mean, the hunt for Gollum or whatever is going to be happening. Yes. I'm sure Jeff's pissed about that. Oh. Rings of Power.
No, Rings of Power I am pissed about, because that's just, I don't even know why they're bothering. But no, I have hope for the hunt for Gollum. That is a story that could be told well, and does happen in a time period where it would make sense for these old characters to be around.
Trying to think what else. The blue wizards who vanished across the sea.
Yes, yes.
That's the only thing I know about the Silmarillion. Yes.
Oh, the blue wizards, they're interesting because they were... Originally, it was thought that they fell to Sauron and they just kind of became his lackeys. But later on, some stuff that he wrote closer to his death was found. And his idea for the Blue Wizards were that they were in the south and east kind of working to build resistance like Gandalf was doing in the west. And so that's why Sauron wasn't able to call on as big a force of evil men from the east and south as he would have liked to.
Okay.
It's because he was busy kind of fighting like civil wars in those areas. And they also don't mention anywhere in the movie that he's also attacking the elves and the dwarves at the same time he's attacking the men. And so that's why they don't come to help, because a lot of people are like, why doesn't anybody come to help them?
And also terrifying, there's giant spiders.
Oh my God.
That's terrifying to
me. Don't get me started on the giant spiders. That Shelob shit still grosses me out even to this day. When I was a kid, it literally gave me nightmares. Especially when she comes out of that tunnel behind him at the end. Ugh, God.
And I mean, most terrifying of all, J.R.R. Tolkien throws on his old his own fiction suit and enters the universe as the greatest character, Tom Bombadil.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. See, we need Tom Bombadil. If he doesn't visit Tom Bombadil during the hunt for Gollum, Jay, I think that'll be a missed opportunity.
That's about where I would get to when I read Fellowship of the Ring. And I went, I don't know what this is. And I stopped reading.
Well, and that was the thing, is nobody knows what that is. And nobody still knows what that is. Honestly, the only important things that happen with Tom Bombadil are when they encounter the Barrow-ites. Because later on, the Barrow blades that they take, because they were made for war against the Witch King, when Merry stabs the Witch King in the knee, that's why it does damage, is because that was from the Barrow.
Sorry, so, I'm getting a little getting a little burpy here. If any of that came through, I apologize, listeners. So
that was setting up the long game.
Drinking all this Deathberry.
Oh, God.
Anyway, if you want to message Jeff specifically about Lord of the Rings stuff, get in touch with us on...
message us at horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com with your Lord of the Rings questions.
Yep. Or your theories, or, I don't know, if you really enjoyed that game where, like, you fight orcs, but then they can become your allies, and you... build an army. I don't know what that video game's called. It looked like fun, though.
Oh, I think you're talking about Lord of the Rings Age of Conquest.
Or was it Shadow?
Oh, Shadow of Mordor.
Maybe that one?
Shadow of War. Yes, you can force orcs to become your allies in that. Yeah. With your wraith powers.
Yeah, and it looks like fun. I don't think I'd be very good at it.
Oh, I think you would.
get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror4Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/HorrorForTheHolidays. I'll make a subcategory for comments, like Tolkien tech support or something like that. You guys can leave me your comments, ask questions if you want. Just talk about anything you'd like to see from a future Stocking Stuffer episode.
I know you're itching, champing at the bit to do kind of a similar thing, but for Star Trek.
Indeed.
Talk about how creepy the Borg are.
Oh my God, the Borg.
Or how great Q is, because he's the best.
Oh my God, Q is the best. Yeah. The only one who's immune to Q is Captain Sisko.
Sisko's great too.
God, the only time Q appears to him, he gets punched right in the face.
That's the way you handle semi-omnipotent.
Yes, that's how you deal. That's how you deal with Q. You notice Q never came back to bother him again after that.
I don't know. Podcatcher choice, 5 stars, 0 stars if I could.
Yes, we'll know you're a real sicko.
Yep. Christmas Podcast Network. We're all sorts of good stuff, better stuff than this, etc. So on and so forth.
Lots of stuff. All right, we gotta go,
Jeff. If you think I'm a If you think I'm rushing through, it's because I got a big announcement. Next episode, it's a little Deadly Games, a little dial code. Santa Claus, the wheel giveth and the wheel taketh away, and this time the wheel giveth.
Happy birthday, Christmas.
So excited. I saw that pop up and I'm like, it's time.
Spread a little Jesus.
Oh, I'm so excited. Jair getting chased on his bike or whatever.
God. It's going to be big. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So yeah, listener, next week, Deadly Games.
Indeed.
Not that one, but Dial Code Santa Claus also. And also maybe Game Over too.
Sure, why not? We'll give it all the titles.
Yeah. Hells yeah. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Goodbye.